United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
I'm they have us fighting over that. Well, people of great stature and great power are fighting things out. It's crazy. So I'd like to hear what people think about this. Whether you think that we got punked again by Russia, and what you think happened. Local caller, you're in there.
Hi, Jeff. It's Deanna. How are you?
Good, Dee. How you doing?
Real good, thank you. Did you by chance see the Charlie Rose interview with Assad?
I did not.
Boy, was that a very revealing interview. Charlie Rose really pushed him to the point where, you know, oftentimes we see that the news, what do you call them? News people can be very intrusive and very, it borders on the line of
disrespect.
Thank you. He was pushing him, and I thought that Assad, you know, regained his, you know, kept his composure. What he was saying, Charlie Rose wanted him to admit that he has these weapons of mass destruction.
Mm-hmm.
And Assad did not get angry, did not, you know, lose his composure, and he said, for any nation to be able to, you know, care for itself and its people, you don't reveal what you have, which was reasonable.
Right.
We wouldn't. If somebody, you know, I'm trying to reverse this and think, if anybody dared to ask America what our military arsenal is composed of, we would not tell.
No.
So he said, I can't answer that question. And then Charlie Rose kept this attack of, you know, the world sees you as a ruthless, vicious, you know, dictator, a murderer, da-da-da-da-da-da. And he said, I am here to protect the country of Syria. When the people of Syria no longer want me, it will be time for me to go. But he says, I have their confidence now as we fight this, you know, rebel attack. And he says, and we're winning. And he was so smooth through this, Jeff, that I had to think, I thought well of him. Not that I, you know, idolized him or I would want him to.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
But I thought well of him because he spoke, I thought, very forthrightly. He didn't hem and haw. He had command of his facts. He answered every question in some way. I mean, you know, he was he didn't skirt the issues. He would say, you know, these are things I cannot tell you. You know, it wouldn't be prudent for me to tell you. But he talked about this rebel group, and he said, if the United States chooses to, you know, pursue this, he says, let it be known that they will be empowering Al-Qaeda, who is responsible for your 9/11 tragedy. And I mean, he was very clear. I thought it was a wonderful interview. If you can get it, you're going
to get it. Yeah, I saw a piece of it because I saw him telling when they were asking him about you know about those weapons, and he did very very calmly, very coolly told him, you know, what you were saying. I remember that particular part. But here's the thing.
One big thing that he said that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. He said, if you overthrow me, everything that I have would go into the hands of these rebels.
Absolutely.
And he says, do you want that? You know, do you want all of my arsenal in the hands of these people? And I thought, you know, that was it, the whole thing sewn up, you know, in one comment, because we didn't think that through. We never think things through. You know, I've talked about that with nuclear weapon, nuclear reactors. We always think about the energy we're going to get, and we never think about the waste that we're never going to be able to contain or that can become you know, a major problem for us if there's a you know, a meltdown like is happening in Japan.
Right.
We don't have the foresight to look beyond what we want right now. And right now, if we did take out Assad or destabilize his control, you would have those rebels overrun the country and take those weapons, and who knows what would happen.
You ain't seen nothing yet is what was going to happen. Because their thing is to take land for Allah. You have to understand that. People don't believe that. They don't believe that that's written in the Quran, but they have scripture that tells you, chase the infidel. Chase him so far that when he hides behind a rock, that the rock calls out and says, here are the infidels, and then go kill them. It doesn't say anything that they said, we're fighting infidels. Now, infidels are not worth respect of any type. Infidels are worth being killed and burned, and the more you kill them, the more God favors you and will open up heaven to you as you go into heaven after you blow yourself up and die or kill yourself or get killed in as a martyr in the fight against infidels. Mm-hmm. They don't understand this.
Well, you know, as God spoke about the Christians that are being murdered,
mm-hmm.
about the soldiers who you shared. Now, I had not heard before about them, their hearts being cut out.
They cut the man. They killed the man.
So how can we back that? Jeff,
because it fits into the framework of those that have put our politicians in office, and I'm not just talking about Obama, because there's plenty of people that have bit into this worldwide one world government, new world order, globalist banker made situation. It's going to destroy us if we don't somehow leave this bit of real estate called America autonomous to the rest of it. This is going to destroy us. But I have a little bit of faith left that maybe God is not finished with us. South Carolina, I'm going to bring you up after my break because I got to go to break here in about 10 seconds. Callers online, please hold on. If you want to talk, you hit the one, as I see we're loading up here today. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back after we pay these messages, pay these bills right now.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com. Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll-free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back here, afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're revisiting and talking about the latest events that have come into the news about Syria. And we're talking about whether this is another smack in the face to the Obama administration given by Mr. Putin, who Obama whispered to Medvedev and said, "I'll be a little more flexible with you after the election." I love this flexibility here, right? Tell me how flexible Putin is with you, Mr. Obama. Please, Mr. President, tell me, because I think he's making a fool out of you on the national scene. And I hate that because I hate America looking like a fool. And I hate John Kerry, who says we have to go in there now. We have to go in and we have to bomb. We have to bomb them and bomb them out of existence. That Assad, that evil man that I ate with five times in a swanky up-class restaurant, he has to go. He's too swanky. Anyway, that's my thing for the day. Go ahead, D. And then, Diva, you're going to be next. D, did you leave me?
No, sir.
Yeah.
With Putin, oh, I don't know. I can't say I trust him, but he is looking very powerful. He's you know how they talk about the little smug cat with the mouse
in his mouth.
Oh, yes.
Or the canary, right.
Yes. I think he really feels he pulled one off here.
Well, temporarily he did. You have to understand. Russia backs Assad 1,000,000% because they're making a whole lot of money off of Assad.
Yeah.
Okay, and because they're the number one oil producers in the world. And for them doing that, they sure enough had always needed warm water ports to have their products, shipped from, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they found a few friends here and there. Now, we're going to see how this thing turns out, but, we'll see, because the bankers aren't going to let this go. They want to saw it out. And so, therefore, there's not much that can be done right now if the United Nations takes over the chemical weapons in that country.
Well, you know, the thing that I thought about is, you know, we always did have Great Britain, you know, as a faithful friend.
Right.
And we don't have, and just from the beginning, that struck, you know, me as a concern.
They don't trust our president.
Well, this is it. And I thought to myself, now look how, you know, Russia comes right into the aid, you know, of Syria. And I thought, you know, if we were in difficult straits, who would come?
Mm. Well,
you know, like if you reversed this whole scenario, and we were found to have done something, say we did a strike and we unfortunately hurt a great civilian population, and there were, you know, there was an outcry against the United States, would there be anyone who would say their intention was good? you know, anybody who would?
No.
No. No.
And guess what?
It breaks my heart, Jeff.
You'd have every sleeper cell that's in the United States at this particular moment, then disrupting everything that they could possibly disrupt inside the United States to bring us down, because we are, to them, the great Satan. You have to understand that. People don't believe that, I know, but read, just do some perusing yourself of the Quran.
I have.
Yeah, I know, but not just you. I'm talking to all,
yeah,
you know, all our listeners.
Yeah.
And look at some of the verses that they're talking about. Now, I was introduced to the Quran when I was about 18, 19 years old. As if I was going to be able to travel with a very famous Muslim person as a musician, if I had become a Muslim. And so they told us to come and try, you know, going to the temple and the mosque, I should say, and checking things out, blah blah blah. And we did. We lived up in Jersey for a couple of months and went through some things. But I'll say it like this: didn't happen. I didn't feel it, and I turned down the prospective chance of doing that because I just could not feel that. And I'm glad I couldn't feel it, because what, you know, what I know that I know that I know now is a great far cry difference.
Well, that's it. God had his hand on you.
Amen. And I appreciate it, even in spite of myself sometimes.
Well, you know, the other thing in that interview with Charlie Rose, when Charlie Rose asked him, well, how is it that you think these, if you didn't do it, how is it that you think these
rebels,
the sarin gas was dispersed? And he said, the military strike went into a unknown,
cache.
Holding site.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or, he says, rebels did this. Or he said a third party. And Charlie Rose asked him if he wanted to elaborate. And he said, I'm looking into this. He says, believe me, we're looking into this. And then today I heard on, right before your program,
mm-hmm,
I heard just a little bit of Geraldo. And they said that there were no bodies in those bodies of the people that were killed with the sarin gas. There were no bodies that reflected the garments of the rebels.
I let off with that, D.
Okay, it was you. Okay, I knew I heard it.
No, it wasn't just me, but I didn't. I'm not saying they weren't there. I'm just telling you that I didn't see one on TV.
Well, others are saying this, and I think that's something that should be looked into too.
Absolutely.
There's so much investigation that needs to be done. I wonder what the president will say to us tonight, because I don't believe he can ask the Congress to vote on this. I think if he persists, that's a ruinous course. And I think that, you know, they said Putin has handed him a gift. I just wonder how he will receive it.
I don't think this is his gift. I think that Putin slammed him in the face again. That's what I think.
See, some people are saying that he has an out now.
he had out before. If Congress had said no, he could have said, well, Congress says we can't do it, so I'm going to abide by Congress because it's a war thing. He would have won. The Republicans would have lost, and whoever voted against him would have really lost, and it would have been on them. But Putin just jammed all of that up, or at least John Kerry jammed it up by leaving that as a plausible way to get out of this situation.
I know, but watch how the spin is put on.
That's what I'm talking. Well, you know that.
Yes.
I mean, they can't help themselves. They're going to support this man if they die doing it.
Oh.
But D, you can hold on or what for right now.
Yes.
Hey, if I hang up on you, D, it's because I got another local coming in.
And I understand.
Okay, and then you just call him back. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. Diva, you are on the air.
I'm just trying not to laugh. I'm sorry. I actually like D. Even though I disagree with her, she seems very informed about her opinion. So I have to give her that to start off with.
Mm-hmm.
But I disagree with you two on saying, especially when you say that Putin basically slapped Obama in the face. Because when John Kerry made that offhanded comment about Assad turning over his weapons to international forces, he also said, but I doubt he'd do that, which lets me know is there was some type of conversation amongst the administration. And then somebody brought that up, they shot that down. Nah, he'll never do that. So he turns around and says, Russia turns around and says, yeah, we can't agree to that. He gets Syria to turn around and agree to that. And this comes from a regime who couldn't even admit that they had weapons to begin with. Secondly, when the attack first happened, Russia and Syria, Putin and Assad were saying those attacks never happened. It was Western propaganda. So then they had to turn around and admit that, yes, this actually did happen. To me personally, I do believe Assad's regime did it, whether it was accidentally or on purpose, whatever. I believe they did it. Then now to say, okay, yeah, we do actually have weapons of mass destruction. We do have chemical weapons. And we're in order to broker a ceasefire so the U.S. does not attack us, we're willing to give those weapons up. I mean, and you're trying to say that that's a slap in Obama's face?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we just got to agree to disagree.
Well, I mean, but see, you're going on the premise that this whole thing is about 1,400 people being gassed. I am not.
No, I'm not going on that premise. I never said that this is about 1,400 people being gassed. And if you paid any attention to my Facebook,
I don't pay attention to your Facebook. I pay attention to my Facebook. But here it is. Here it is. No, I'm not assuming that this has to do with 1,400 people, as is what the press is saying, as is what our government is saying. We've got to do something about this
saying,
because.
No, what I was saying, you assumed that that's what I'm assuming. I never mentioned that this was about.
No. Okay, I got you. I got you. You're correct. You're correct. And so I must take that back. But once again, I'll say it like this. This is a smack in the face to President Obama. Why? Because the object of this whole thing is the rebels and what he said on page 261 of his book, that he will stand with the Muslim if the winds goes against them. So you have to understand, he has given over Libya to radical Muslims, Egypt to radical Muslims. Now he's trying to give away Syria to the radical Muslims. Why? Why do you want the people that are the most crazy in the world, the most undisciplined in the world, as far as living with their neighbors in the world, to be in charge of a country that you know has huge stockpiles of weaponry that Russia has supplied them?
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
You as a staunch believer, and I'm not doubting your belief in Christ at all whatsoever, mm-hmm. you as a believer in Christ, would you pretend to be a Muslim just to put forward your ideals or a goal?
No.
Okay, so as far as, and to be around Muslims and you understanding that religion, they're just as conservative and staunch, you know, forthright in their beliefs as just as Christians are. What makes you think that if President Obama was a practicing Muslim, that he would pretend to be a Christian just to put forth an idea when they have just as strong of a faith in what they believe as we do?
He's not pretending to be a Christian. He's not pretending whatsoever to be a Christian. He says,
I recall him saying that is the faith that he believes in.
No, it
that
isn't.
Is, he said
That's not
that
what
he
said.
Believes that Jesus Christ
That's not
as
what
the
he
Messiah.
Said. Okay, this is what he said. He said, no. I chose Christianity for me and my family because I thought that was the best thing for us to do. He said, I did not have an epiphany. I chose it. You don't choose to be a Christian. You have an epiphany.
I don't recall him saying he didn't have an epiphany.
Well, go look it up. Said it. Why would I add that, Diva?
Well,
why would
I
add that?
I get it. Jeff, you know you are not going to say anything positive or put anything in good light for this president. You're not. I've not heard you say one thing about him.
I can give you a couple things he's done in good light, like I said, but I'm not going to give you because I know who his backers are and I know what he believes. No, I'm not going to give it to him. I think he's evil.
When you talk about backers, when you talk about the president of the United States,
I think he's evil and wicked. So there you go. I don't see anything good out of him. So I'm sorry.
All right.
You don't go across the world evangelizing abortion. You don't go across the world being the LGBT evangelist. If you're
Wait a minute. So if I, as a Christian, sit up here and say, Jeff, I don't agree with abortion. However, I do believe in people practicing birth control, and I think that's where our fight needs to be, is putting out, making birth control more available. And I also don't believe
Stay
in a homosexual.
Stay right there, Diva. Stay right there. We're going to be back after these messages.
A homosexual relationship, and I don't believe in homosexual marriage. However, I do
right
believe
back.
That two
we'll
people who
that
are
right
loved
the
should have the same rights
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The lawyer for a man suspected in the Youngstown homicide 4 years ago has asked for the charge to be dismissed. Lawyers for Paul Brown say the case against him should be dismissed because the Youngstown Police Department destroyed or tampered with evidence that could prove his innocence. His trial is set for Monday. Brown is accused of killing 17-year-old Ashton Jackson in 2009. A 31-year-old man pleaded not guilty in Austin Town Court to charges of fleeing and eluding police. The Ohio State Highway Patrol say Jerry Burton of Youngstown was going 110 miles per hour last Wednesday on Interstate 680 in Austintown. Troopers ended up catching him on foot after they say he tried to run off onto Shenley Avenue. And now to Warren, Ohio. A 57-year-old Amish man, Daniel Miller, was sentenced to 20 years to life in prison for committing at least 17 sex crimes against seven girls ages 4 to 14. The crimes happened from the year 2000 to July of 2012. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
From the first shots fired at the Battle of Concord in 1775, this great country was founded on personal freedom and the private ownership of firearms. In keeping with that tradition, National Armory is working hard to support your Second Amendment rights. Visit National Armory, now at the old Buckeye Firearms location in Streetsboro, Austintown, and Rogers.
Looking for the right car at the right price? Come on out to the Stadium GM Used Car Superstore in Salem. There's over 300 unbeatable deals, like a 2013 GM-certified Chevy Impala from only $239 a month, and that's with zero down. Plus, we've even got 0% financing. That could save you thousands. Right now, our super lot has back-to-school specials from $119 a month, trucks and SUVs from $149 a month, and plenty of financing for everyone, all at the store that has just what you're looking for, the Stadium GM Used Car Superstore in Salem. 3.9%, 578 months plus tax. I don't want to...
Hack Steer & Company provides Salem with solid professional advice, coaching our clients with regards to business, tax, and estate planning, using our experience as well as technology to maximize your financial success. Roger Maris said the difference between mediocrity and success is preparation. You hit home runs not by chance, but by preparation. In business, the difference between surviving and succeeding is having the right team and coaches, as well as the determination to get to the top. When you're ready to improve your game, call Roger Hack, Steve Steer, or Wendy Saltzman today, or stop in at our offices, 2nd Street in Salem.
Okay, you're a homeowner and you're behind on your monthly mortgage payments. Well, guess what? You are not alone. So what are your options? Lose your home? Or how about trust the bank that puts you in this position to help you get out of it? Yeah, okay, really? Well, if your situation is bad, you have nothing to lose at this point. So take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call 1-800-213-6981. When you call the Foreclosure Defense Network, they will give you information that can stop your home from going into foreclosure. Information that can even get your home out of foreclosure. They can even lower your monthly mortgage payment and get rid of all your unsecured debt. And here's the best part. There's no fees if they can't help you. Make the call, 1-800-213-6981. That's 1-800-213-6981. The consultation is free. The programs are real. Don't lose your home. Call the Foreclosure Defense Network today, 1-800-213-6981. That's 1-800-213-6981.
1-800-530-WSOM. Or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we're back once again afternoon with Tracy and friends, and my friend Diva was talking, and Steve, don't you call just because she's on here now. But anyway.
Jeff, can I say something to that sweet girl?
Yes, go ahead, D.
All right.
Alabama, you're next up.
Steva, I would love to have you for a friend because you are a loyal and faithful friend, and you're not a fair weather friend. You've been, you know, when you commit to somebody, you're committed. But what I'd like you to think about, and I use this analogy, and I don't mean in disrespect to men, but if a husband and wife are in a relationship where the husband feels he can do anything with the money, anything, you know, all he decides everything that goes in the household. And the wife feels that the course he's taking is a disastrous one. He wants to invest in some, financial deal that everybody's saying, oh, this is the thing. And he takes all the savings and invests in it, and here it's, a pyramid scheme. It's bogus, and he loses everything. Then he hears about another opportunity. She may love him dearly, but she may disagree with him. She may disagree with him to the point where she gives him an ultimatum. And it doesn't mean that she loves him less. It means that she can't stand by and see the ruin that's going to befall them and their children, everything that they've worked for. And I feel that we have that kind of a situation happening in our country. And we have leaders who just persist in going their way. And we have other people trying to pull them back and saying, consider this. Please don't do this. If they can, you know, they'll take legal action, like maybe this wife. She'll put you into court.
Yeah, divorce them.
Yeah. They'll try anything to stop this. You know, I know of people that, you know, their fathers were alcoholics, and the young boys had to go down to the bar, even getting beaten up, to try to get a little bit of money out of them before it was gone to bring home to feed the family.
There you go.
There are people that go through a lot of hurt, and I think there are a lot of us going through a lot of hurt right now over what's happening in the country. We don't glory in this. We're not happy to see this. It's not that we want to see our president fail or our leaders fail.
No.
We have a sadness because they're persisting in areas that we see as ruinous.
That and nobody really understands that. They call us racist and this, that, and the other. Although I'm a black man, I still get called, you know, Uncle Tom or this, that, and the other because of it.
And there's no hate behind it.
I don't hate this man when I order. In fact, I don't even know a man that I hate.
That's how I feel. But I can say that I believe the things that we're doing are ruinous. And we can't continue.
Stay there, Diva. Alabama, you're in there. Alabama, You can come back in later. Bianchi, go ahead.
Well, I have presidents, I have lived through presidents who I hope that their programs and policies did not succeed. And one I'm still living with today, and that's the Department of Education. But I mean, that's why come half the population, nearly all half the population voted against the person. So, you know, they sure didn't vote against them just because they voted against them because they used good judgment and what the party has to offer, and they weren't too particularly keen on that based on whatever reason. And that's just the way it goes.
Well, no doubt about it. This is where we're at. And like I said, I don't hate President Obama one iota. And I met the man, and I shook his hand and asked him questions, and I don't have a problem with that, with him at all. I know who he is, though, and that's the only thing, the difference between me and the supporters, and especially the supporters that look like me, and they don't understand. I look at what people say. I watch him evolve himself to be made in public, first of all, by saying he never had an epiphany, one, which is a realization that Jesus is Lord, which is the realization that Jesus said he was going to build his church on when Peter got to it. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. If you didn't come to that epiphany, you're not a Christian. I'm sorry. You're not a Christian if you're going across the world spreading homosexuality, which God said he did not agree with. Now, nobody's going to get killed and die for because they practice in homosexuality a certain way under grace. But however, for the Christian to be naming that is not correct. For the Christian to be destroying children when God says, I knew you before you were in your mother's womb, which means that the instant of that a baby is conceived, it becomes a living soul. It may not have a fully developed body, but it is a fully developed person. And that's what we don't want to go. You want to tell me something different than that?
So then, Jeff, you tell me this. When us as Christians, or I say you as Christians, support the death penalty, when the death penalty puts an innocent man to death, you're still supporting murder. Because you still support that entity.
Don't give me this
death penalty is biblical, because the U.S. death penalty system is not biblical.
Diva.
It is not.
Once again, there are situations that I think that have to be changed in the death penalty. I don't think that you should, if there's a shadow of a doubt, that there should be a death penalty. But when there is no shadow of a doubt, it is absolutely biblical. Because he says for you to put certain things out from among you. He says,
and the
get
Lord
them out.
Said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Meaning our
set up a court system. He set up a system for civil law called the law. And guess what? The law of Moses wasn't just from the law of Moses. If you really knew, it was not just from God. The Ten Commandments came from God. But
exactly.
all of the other things came from Moses' father-in-law.
Well, you know, Jeff, there's scriptural consequences to take the life of an unborn child. If you harm a mother and you kill the life within her, there's you accountable for that.
For both. You have to pay for
y'all
both.
Y'all discussing religion today, or y'all discussing world politics?
No, we're doing world politics.
Y'all
but,
discussing religion. I'm getting ready to go.
Bianchi, here's the thing I'll say. We're not just discussing religion, but how the law affects what we do here in America.
I don't feel
our
like
moral
arguing.
Stances, okay, there's no doubt about it. I'm not going to argue any long time because, for me, it's a settled issue. Moral.
Well, for me, it's a settled issue also.
What?
I say
what
for me it's a settled issue also.
Well, I understand, but where do we get our societal moral stances? I do not ascribe to that the death penalty is not biblical. Sorry, I'm not with you on that, David.
I'm not saying, so, I said the U.S. Death penalty is not biblical. Because the way our death penalty system works, Jeff, it's not about the law. It's about justice, about vengeance. Meaning, if someone kills another person, they don't say, oh, we're going to put this person to death because they have to pay for their crimes. Putting them in prison for life does that. They're putting them to death to try to ease the pain of the family. They're putting them to death because it's basically an eye for an eye. And Jesus squared away eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. He already settled that debate.
No, he didn't.
So we
sorry.
Have it. And as far as the Old Testament laws of Moses go, Christ summed it all up when he spoke about divorce. From the very beginning, God has set his standards, but because of the way man is the reason why he allowed man to do as man pleased. Hence why many things that contradict the Bible.
We will agree to...
How did divorce handle in Christianity, by the way?
It's handled just like it is secularly because here's the thing. If you get divorced, you're not supposed to remarry. Unless the unbeliever departed or save, I believe it's adultery or something like that. I think then a person can get remarried again. But, I mean, that's going into it. I don't want to go into the law a certain way. It's just like this. We're not any longer a Christian nation, but our laws were certainly based upon Christianity and the first five books of the Bible. Sorry, that's it. That's just truth. However, you know, and I'm going to do a show on that one day because I have a lot of information concerning that. But as far as it goes, it doesn't matter. You don't go telling other nations that they have to believe like you do. That's not correct. And if you don't, we're not going to do business with you, this, that, and the other. I'd like him to tell the Muslim Brotherhood that they better accept LGBTs inside of their organization. I bet you they'll spit in his face. And see, you have to understand, this is craziness.
Him and Hillary both.
Well, he made Hillary do that. I don't, you know, I can't say that it was Hillary's original idea, although she's going to run with it. Because she wants the powers to be to put her in power now. And so, and that's what you got going. You know, she's looking for the World Bank to back her.
Same thing with this idea on chemical weapons. How can you, why is it that we can put sanctions and boycotts on Iran, whereas they can't get the material that they need in order to develop its nuclear program, but the UK and France and the US can sell Syria the ingredients that they would need in order to make sarin nerve gas?
Well, here's the problem, Bianchi. Iran has told us that the minute they get that bomb, they're going to use it. That's the difference. We have them on. We have the.
So every 1 million, all the million people in Iran have said that.
You ain't got no millions of people in Iran that said that. You have the leader of Iran when the Dijon was the head. You have the Ayatollahs that said the same thing, and that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with that mindset, and that's
well,
what the craziness is.
As I said before, I don't believe that, but here's the point. How can you have restrictions on one? Same thing with Zimbabwe. How are you going to have restrictions on one, you can't have restrictions on another?
Well, I hear you, but I've watched the broadcast with the Ayatollahs and Ahmadinejad saying exactly what I just said. So, therefore, I'm not with them or allowing them to get those weapons. I'm sorry. So, you know, but I understand your view of it, and I won't
should not
question
British
that.
Should not Britain be ridiculed for selling the country these type of weapons?
They,
not weapons, but
absolutely,
material?
Absolutely.
But
absolutely.
They are not
We're going to get stepped on by the news here because it's coming up here in a couple seconds. So, Alex, if you could wait till after the news. I had a local caller, too. wait till after the top of the hour news, and please call back in, and we will get you right on and hear what you got to say. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff in the air chair. We'll be back after these messages.
Avoid the rush and listen to us. Tune in to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, weekdays noon to 3 on News Talk 600. We cover the local and national issues that affect you and your community.
Hello?
Oh, they must be on break.
Yeah, I think they are.
Beth take more breaks than Tracy does. So, like, every 5 minutes he's taking a break.
Yeah. I guess he doesn't have the same liberty to Tracy do or something.
Is this Alabama or Alex?
This is Alex.
Okay, you got to forgive me because you and Alabama sound alike.
I don't sound anything like Alabama.
Y'all do. That's why I always get you guys mixed up. You two sound alike.
Wow.
Where's Bianchi at?
He was on here a minute ago, but...
He's hilarious. If y'all gonna talk religion, I'm getting off.
I don't know. Yeah, it's a bit of a drag to me.
What, religion?
Yeah.
Oh, not for me. Besides politics, that's my other passion.
Well, it is for most people, you know, politics and religion. But, you know, it's one of those things that there's no point in debating with people because religion is something that is it's people's own, you know, and it's not something that you can necessarily make sense of or debate about because it's based off of faith, and so faith doesn't require one person having a more sensible argument. You know, that's why there's all these religions, because religion doesn't require any evidence or rational thought. So you can't really have a rational debate or discussion about two different views that are different. I mean, not
I think
two people
you can.
Agree.
I think if people respect the fact that someone else may not believe. Like, I can have a rational debate with a non-Christian. I can't have a rational debate with a Christian sometimes, especially someone who is...
Man, they're still on break. They must be trying to make a lot of money.
Bianchi, I thought you left.
I did. Things went quiet for a second.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I would have thought he was going to be talking about Obama, how big of a fool he made himself into being.
You guys really think that, well, me personally, I never really thought we were going to go to war. I didn't think it was going to get, I just knew that something was going to happen before it got to that point.
Well, no, I didn't think they were anyway. The United States is broke Their military generals tell him that that's not the thing to do.
And we're back here, afternoon with Tracy and friends. Vladimir Putin, also known as MC Hammer, just gave this message to the United States. And he's doing his thing, and he won this round because Assad is still going to be in power for a while, it looks like, unless Kerry finds a way to get around this weapons of mass destruction thing. And we're going to see whether that works or not. I don't think it will, because Assad has to be out of power. But 412, come on, Alex.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
You know, I don't know if I would go as far as call Obama made to look foolish, but I will say that it does lend credence to the claim that he's a paper tiger. You know, one thing I have to say that about, you know, you shouldn't show your teeth unless you're ready to bite. And, and that's one thing about Bush is that, you know, he was ready to pop off in a minute.
Well, but see, these guys were raised to be leaders. These guys were raised to be world leaders. This guy is not. He was a community organizer.
Well, I'm down in Iraq. He ready to pop off in a minute.
Well, I mean, here you go. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is that it's just bad. I mean, it's not like to me. I don't think we have any business, you know, in Syria. You know, I say let people.
They have no business in Iraq neither.
Yeah, they have no business in Iraq or anything, you know. But you know, I think in terms of if you are an executive, you know, of any organization, whether it's the United States or a company, you don't show your teeth unless you are about to bite. And I think that, you know, Obama showed his teeth, and now he's having to pull them back. And it just looks bad. I mean, because all this political posturing over striking Syria now is just not going to happen. It makes him look a little bit, you know, it lends credence to the claim of him being a paper tiger, you know.
So if in a game of poker, if I'm bluffing you, even though I don't have the bite to win the hand, but I'm bluffing you, that shows my weakness, even though I turn around and win the hand? Because this is what he was, just playing poker. He wasn't playing no paper games. He played
America
poker.
Bluff. America shouldn't bluff. That's the point. You don't
bluff.
Thank you.
You just do. You don't bluff. I mean,
no, because just doing is what got us bogged down in Iraq.
No, it isn't. That's not what
it is.
We shouldn't have been involved in Iraq in the first place, but I'm just saying that if you show your teeth, you got to bite. And I think
people can show their teeth as they land on the canvas on their back, looking at who knocked them down.
happened.
Well, absolutely. So the thing is, American public is the one that's getting shafted. None of this has anything to do with you. Nothing whatsoever. As I said before, I am still, when I go outside, I look up the street, down the street, and up. I'm still waiting on the communists during the Vietnam era to invade my neighborhood. And they're not here.
Gosh.
That again was the same thing. You were fighting for oil, and I do believe Vietnam did have some gold deposits or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. I could be mistaken on that, but as it goes, you were fighting strategic wars for strategic control and balance of power in the world. That's what Iraq was about, and that's what they sought to do by going in. And whether it was the problem with it is they didn't do like Colin Powell told them to. Colin Powell told them, if you go in there, you better be willing to go in there and take it and occupy it, because otherwise, if you break it, you own it. And that's when Bush's advisors did not listen to Colin Powell, and they dogged him and went around him. Yeah, hold on, Doc. You're next. Went around him, and they suffered the consequence of that. That was a very ill-advised move, because what they wanted was a place to jump off. First of all, keep him from selling his oil on the euro, and then number two, to put him in a place to be able to stop Iran from developing the nuclear weapon. So that's what's going on there. Unlisted caller, you are in the air.
Hey, Jeff, I just want to make a comment. Somebody said a point about, you know, you don't show your teeth unless you're going to bite. Well,
right.
Obama, he went around this world tour apologizing to everybody, so of course when he shows his teeth, no one's going to take him seriously.
Well, that's a
serious
thought.
Problem.
Give me the wheel.
I mean, you can't go around the world on an apology tour and take you seriously. You talk about military action.
Now, let me ask Diva a question, because she said, oh, Lord, not this. What do you think is the thing, Diva, when you have the president sitting on a stool and getting caught by the news media telling the Medvedev out of Russia to tell Putin that he'll be more flexible after the election. And then look at what's going on now. Is this his flexibility? Or do you think they think he's a punk, like Ahmadinejad said, that this is a weak man?
Let me say this. I think hearing you guys talk with this, you don't show your teeth unless you're ready to bite. This is why women make better cheaters and better strategists. Me personally, I believe in the art of reverse psychology. I believe in moving slowly, and I believe in sitting back and letting a person set their own trap, basically giving them rope to hang themselves. As far as this apology tour, every time I answer, you guys go, oh, you're so pro-president. The fact of the matter is you guys basically took everything he said out of context. One, he was apologizing for the way the Bush administration was handling our foreign policy, which is basically just you don't think, you just do, which caused us to end up in Iraq, and it kind of made a problem with a good majority of our allies. He basically came off as a bully.
No, he didn't.
And then when he sat on, I can't even pronounce that dude's name. I wanted to call him just Medved. When he said that, I don't like it, but I understood where he was coming from.
Oh, you understood? Well, tell us.
I mean, how could you not understood where he was coming from? Because any time a president is in their first term, they're going to walk a fine line. Anytime a president is running for re-election, they're going to walk a fine line until
Tell us what President Obama meant by telling Mr. Medvedev to tell Putin that he'd be more flexible after the election. More flexible with what and for what?
I don't know. He never answered that.
He'd be more flexible in his lies.
Diva, this is what I do to that. This is what
funny.
I think
y'all
about
hilarious.
That one. Listen. This is what I think about that little thought you just came up with. I'm shooting it dead right
and
now.
See,
it's dead in the water.
Here's where I differ from y'all. I don't care if it's Bush or Obama in the presidency. I'm against the policies of this country, this government. And also the behind-the-scenes wranglings that's the cause of a lot of the mayhem that goes on in the world.
Why do you choose to live in America?
I'm not trying to be funny or mean. I'm just asking, like, why do you choose, since you hate our policies, you seem to not agree with our government, why do you choose to still live in America? Obviously, something about our policies and our government is good for you to still be here.
Well, it's not the policy of the government. It's the people. I still have people here that I have close dealings with, especially young people. And I probably spend half the time in America and half the time abroad in else place. But here's the point: America still wants to have influence in other places where I go. Also, like Jeff was talking about earlier, when it's trying to impose these draconic ways on other cultures in other countries.
Well, this is what we do. We really mess. And Alex, you're live if you want to talk. Okay. And this is what we do. I mean, you know, as far as balancing the power in other nations, if we are the moral police of the world, that's what we're supposed to be doing. But we're not. That's a lie from the pit of hell right there. We are not nobody's moral police. We are our interest police. Whenever we stand to gain power in the world, gain money in the world, that's when you see us act.
I don't see why that's a bad thing. I mean, I don't see how a person protecting their interests is a bad thing. You wouldn't let somebody come and rob
your
house.
Okay, so now you printed up all the money you printed up, Diva, $85 billion a month. You raised your debt ceiling. You not need to raise it again right now. And now you want to go into another man's territory, remove him from office, so that you can have control of how the oil and gas is running that area? Is that a good thing?
I get what you're saying about this is about Assad being removed from power. But if I correct me if I'm wrong, but both out of the president's mouth, John Kerry's mouth, and everybody who has been supporting him on the Hill has said this is not about removing Assad. This is about getting weapons out of Syria. Weapons are out of Syria.
Well, and Assad's people should be able to get rid of him.
Until I hear something different out of their mouth, then that's what I'm going to go with.
Just well, like Condoleezza Rice, was it Susan Rice, one of the two, said that there should be a coalition that goes into Zimbabwe to remove Robert Mugabe. The man's been duly re-elected. So that's a bunch of crap. But the problem is really what Jeff mentioned, this printing of money. You got countries in the world that don't want to be a part of that no more. And that's what
right.
they're doing. They're moving away from the United States dollar as being the currency of final trade and the currency of trade, period. A final settlement,
so
should I say.
Is the dollar, what happens to our economy when they start to move away from our currency, the dollar? What happens?
It collapses.
Can I answer that question? What happens?
Well, it doesn't collapse within the United States. But here's the point. Why is it? Listen at this very clearly. Why come the United States Treasury don't print money? And don't charge, if the United States Treasury printed money, the United States Treasury would not charge the United States citizens interest on that money. So the way it is now, every time money is printed through the sale of the bonds, interest is being charged to United States citizens. The question is, who is making all this interest? You bought a house for $100,000 and you made monthly payments on it for 30 years, 360 payments. When you got done, you added it up, you paid $300,000 on that house. Who got the extra $200,000? That's the question that should be asked.
The argument that America is broke. I'm not buying it. I see it as a Michael Jackson spending program syndrome. When that man was alive, he couldn't keep money in his pocket. He had money coming in, lots of money, but he couldn't keep it in it because he kept spending it. Now that he is dead, his estate has earned $600 million since his death. The same thing is with America. We have the money coming in, but every
time we don't have the money coming in,
they find something new to spend it on. They find something
new. You have more money going out than what's coming in.
Way more. Unlisted caller, you're back in.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, how is it all right to take another person out of office?
That's a good point. It ain't.
How is it all right? Well, here's the thing.
Because one minute you keep talking about on the religious aspect, then you keep going back to something else. I mean,
what are you talking about?
Women and children are dying. I mean,
To you,
it don't matter whether women or children are dying.
That's absolutely asinine for you to say that.
You're going to let me say that?
Yeah, but don't say stuff like that because it's not true, first of all.
Well, go ahead. It's not true.
No, because I didn't say that.
Like I told you, like I said last week, we are a bunch of cowards. The black man here in America is cowards because we're going to fight for somebody else but won't fight for our own women and children when they out here in the streets dying. We won't fight
you
for them.
You vote for it.
But we'll... I ain't vote for nobody. You'll know who I voted for.
No, I'm not talking about you in particular. I'm not on that.
I'm like Bianchi said, I'm not on that Republican, Democratic stuff. I'm trying to do what's right. And the country should be doing what's right. And like you said, all the children are down in this country daily, and we're going to talk about some children down in another country somewhere. We full of it. We don't take care of our children. We don't take care of our women. But as soon as they want us to go fight for them, we'll go run over another country and kill somebody else's women, children, and family. But we're Christians, though. Please.
That's called the industrial military complex.
I agree with you. That's exactly what it's called, but it's not called Christianity. That's what it's not called.
I agree.
Yeah, well, we need to stop it then. And we should be ashamed of ourselves. because we got more to lose than anybody else. When somebody, when the people over in Africa is over there killing them over some diamonds and gold, we don't go over there and protect our people over there.
Precisely.
We don't care about that. We don't care about that. Well, then we need to start doing something then, instead of being on the radio talking this bull every day. We need to get out here and do. I work with children with behavior problems, and we need to be out here doing something about that. So we got enough going on here.
You really have no idea about some things that I do and involve with, but that's okay. All of us, you're right. We need to be taken apart. But when you have a political structure that has your people herded into certain areas in the country, that they go and they milk you just like cows, and they use you as fodder for meat every time that they need to stay in power, then that's what you have to correct first. That's why I'm on the radio, first of all, because I want to help people think about this.
Oh, crap.
Can I ask you a question?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that out loud.
I'll get ready to mute your phone, Diva. Just wait your turn.
Yes. How many years was President Bush in office? The first
8 years. The first one was in 4 years.
How many was his son in office?
Eight.
And how many years was the Republican president before that in office?
Reagan was in for 8 years.
So they had a total of 20 years in office within the last, 30 years?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about the Democratic, and we talk about abortion, but in those 20 years, did anything with abortion change when they were in office?
No, because they didn't have enough of the Congress to do anything about it.
I never even heard him speak about doing anything about it.
Oh, yes, sir. Come on. You can stop that one. I was personally involved with several efforts to try to roll back the abortion laws and things in America. I was personally involved.
I'm talking about the president. I was personally involved
with that particular situation where the president was involved and was going, and was doing things about it. But if you do not have that Congress, you're not gonna overturn a Supreme Court ruling. It just doesn't happen.
Well, I understand what he's talking about. What he's saying, Jeff, is this: if whites was not aborting, it wouldn't be no problem at all with abortion. And you got to come. Let's look at Reagan. What happened? The war that Reagan imposed on drugs, who did that affect the worst? It affected black people. Come on now.
Absolutely.
If whites were not aborting their children, it would not even be an issue. Look how they imposed laws against meth compared to crack. When meth became a problem, man, they jumped on it right away. You can't even go into the drugstore and buy certain things.
You sure can't. I can't think of the name of the drug, but you can't do it. But the point is this: I agree with you. But the thing is you have to stop it in your own community and get your own people to quit going out there and supporting these fools. That's my point. You get herded to the polls on a lie every single November. November.
But the
well,
same goes Republicans
get,
too,
and
because
get, and you get heard right over to the Middle East the same way.
Absolutely. No matter who the president is, I don't care what side it is, because you got just as many progressives on the right as you do on the left. It's just that the progressives don't have full total control of the Republicans right now, and that's the only. Only ones that are not fully controlled, but they're very close.
Obama realized he didn't have the votes in Congress. What do you think there was in the votes in Congress on either side for
he knew from the beginning
this military
he wasn't
action?
Going to get those votes. This is what boggles me about people who, in doing my research, I'm like, I just couldn't understand why he knew he was not. He knew he was going to get those votes.
But wait a minute now.
Why he would take it to Congress if he knew he wasn't going to get the vote?
He verbally said that he was going to do it without UN approval. Why couldn't he say he was going to do it without congressional approval? He's got the right to do that, right?
No, he really doesn't.
Yes, he does.
For the first few days until time comes to vote for the funding, Jeff.
He cannot really. You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. He can in some kind of emergency, but if it does not meet the test, the criteria of being in our national interest, that's where the language gets funny. He could.
Nobody never explains that.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing. It's not in our. Yeah, the War Powers Act, but there's no reason for us to be there, though, Devo.
Okay, I get that, but the War Powers Act specifically states that no U.S. president could commit troops to a foreign land without the approval of Congress, without an authorization for war. If a president does not decide to use troops, meaning putting boots on the ground, then he can use military might, just he can't use physical soldiers to do so. The War Powers Act does not say anything about making a military strike. They will have to go back and fix that. Congress will have to go back and fix that.
They have a reason for their military strike before you attack another nation. You can't just go attack another nation. Now, 1,400 people dying.
We do have a reason.
No, you do not. You don't have a reason because
you may not agree with the reason. You may not like the reason.
No, that is not a justified reason, Diva. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
And you didn't say justifiable reason. You just said reason. And
Hillary Clinton,
South Carolina. You please say I can't take it. I'm about to fall over in my chair.
Hillary Clinton just said because of our friends in that region, not only our interests but also our friends.
What friends?
You
have to do is bring up the war. Google the War Powers Act. It's not that difficult.
Diva, you don't. Go ahead, Sal.
What I find very interesting is the fact that, you know, for years, for the last what 10 years, George Bush has been the butt of every joke and the butt of just vitriol concerning the Iraqi war, okay? Now, all of a sudden, Obama and the liberals have just jumped all over Bush. But now, all of a sudden, the liberal media wants to take this and twist it and make it look like Obama still deserves his Nobel Peace Prize.
Oh, no, that's where you're wrong. I haven't seen any liberal media. And a good majority of liberals are not in favor of any military action in Syria.
I don't know. I don't know what you've been watching.
Apparently, you have been watching the same newscast as I have because they are.
So you watch MSNBC now?
I watch Al Jazeera. I watch MSNBC. I watch Fox. I watch CBS, ABC, and NBC.
So you give me. You give me which. Anchors or which reporters, journalists on MSNBC is okay with President Obama going into Syria?
Well, I didn't say MSNBC is. I know one thing,
no.
Charlie Rose from CBS is.
Okay.
Definitely liberal.
I said MSNBC because every other media can go left or right. MSNBC is the only one you can actually say is very liberal. I will give it every single anchor on MSNBC, every single program, with the exception of Joe Scarborough, is left. And some are far left.
Apparently you
so which one is agreeing with President Obama going to Syria? You put it out there, so you put it on the table. Which one?
Diva, here's the whole thing.
That's what I thought.
They're trying to slant it. To make him look good. The bottom
no,
line
you
is,
said
this
liberal
man
media.
Can do no wrong. That's why
if
I said the liberal
put it
media.
Out there, if you gonna put it out there, sign your name to it. Which one? You can't even answer that. Because I'm the one standing as a liberal. I can't get any of my friends to agree with him going into Syria. Standing with him, I stand alone on that. Out of my circle, I stand alone. And when I watch MSNBC. I don't hear them talking about, yes, President Obama needs to go into Syria. I do not hear that. I hear Ed, Mr. President, don't
Diva,
go.
Diva,
Rachel Maddow, Mr. President, don't go. Lawrence Patel, the country doesn't want
to justify it. They're trying to justify it.
All right, okay,
well,
you can't.
China and Russia is not going to stand aside and let the United States do what they want to do to Syria. That ain't going to happen.
Listen, the man got lucky. He got extremely lucky with off of a flub that Kerry made, and now they're trying to say it's policy. How in the world can you say the man flubbed a comment, and then they're going to turn around and say, oh, Russia and the United States were talking about this all the while? Come on.
Hillary
just
gave. What meat are you talking about?
What I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the fact. I'm not making something up, Diva.
Yes, you are.
The man flubbed it. John
Kerry
said.
Yes, the man flubbed it, but the stuff that you were saying about the media, I get that you hate the media so much, but now I think you're just making stuff up just to make the media look even worse.
You know what, Diva? Here's the thing. This is why. Me and my first wife are not together because they run their
own. Well, I'm glad I'm not your wife. I'll never be your wife.
Putin just a few minutes said that.
Be quiet for a minute.
Putin has just said that this Syrian chemical weapon handover plan will only work if the U.S. rejects use of force.
She'd be a mean today.
Well. Diva, as far as the War Powers Act goes, the United States does not put aircraft over any nation without having troops on the ground to rescue the pilots if they're shot down.
Bucket of blood.
Say that one more time, Sticks.
The United States of America does not put aircraft over anybody's piece of real estate without troops on the ground to rescue them if somebody gets shot down.
That's when they told
we didn't have any troops in the area where they got Osama bin Laden. Well, no, we didn't have troops there.
They were overflying Libya. They had troops in Libya.
I hope.
They had special forces. Absolutely.
Did we have troops in Kosovo? As I recall, there was no troops committed in Kosovo.
Yes, we did.
I worked with a guy at Kosovo.
In the actual
Submarine Forces Atlantic Fleet that spent 18 months in Kosovo. In a tent. Oh, absolutely. The United States of America does not put airplanes over real estate without special forces on the ground to rescue those pilots.
Got that right.
We got huge. I mean, we got systems to deliver them off of submarines. We drop them in with parachutes. If there's a pilot in the air, there's special forces in the ground to get him out if something goes wrong.
You guys, you know, one thing that you have to keep in mind is that where the technology is today, you don't need an aircraft actually in their airspace to launch an airstrike.
Can you guys hear me?
Very true. Yeah,
hello?
We hear you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I had to get on another call for a moment. I didn't hear everything that was being said.
Did y'all hear my comment or no?
Yes, we did, Alex. Well, and you're right. The Tomahawk platform does not require an aircraft, and we also have drones.
Listen, we've got radars. I mean, you know, listen, you got radars.
Exactly, and with that,
the radar technology,
with that,
look.
With the Tomahawk missiles and the drones, we don't need to commit troops. We don't have to use troops. Therefore, if the president chose to use a missile or drones to make a strike, he does not need to go through Congress.
The Pentagon already said it takes 75,000 troops to isolate and capture all the chemical weapons. The Pentagon said that.
Well, yeah, and the Pentagon also said that we needed to go into Iraq, too, so...
So did the Congress.
Right.
No, what?
President Bush had the authorization of Congress and 12 UN resolutions before he ever went to Iraq. There was 18
exactly.
months to run
up to
Iraq.
It was still an asinine thing to do. It was asinine to go into Iraq. There was no purpose, no reason for us to go into Iraq. Saddam Hussein wasn't doing anything at that time but being a jerk.
It was that error on weapons of mass destruction.
Is the reason why we're in a position that we are now, that we, that America is even afraid to engage militarily with another country. We distrust.
Now, the reason you went into Iraq then is the reason why I come the rest of the world is saying, the hell with this. You already fooled us once.
Now, here's the thing.
Thank
here's
you,
the thing.
Chris. All right.
Where do you think the gas came from? The sarin gas?
Came from the UK.
I know. No, it didn't.
No.
It came from Iraq.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah, because didn't Saddam move his weapons into Syria?
No,
they weren't using Syrian gas. They didn't have Syrian in Iraq. They were using mustard. The ingredients came from the UK.
I call that speculation. That's they got in Syria.
It's called sarin, by the way.
There is. They have them.
Hey, guys. Hey, yo. Listen, we're going to continue on, try to be as respectful as possible because we're recording. The electricity went out here at the station, so we are not broadcasting on radio, but we are broadcasting over the net. And I'm in, and I can't call anybody up. So everybody that's in right now is in. And so don't try to unhook it and go back in another way, because I can't help you if you do. So
wow,
that's where we're at
what
today.
Over the show.
One of your liberal folks came in there and blew us up because we was bringing out too much truth on the radio.
Oh, sorry, you found me out.
Was it a drive-by?
You didn't know I had that much power, Jeff. You know, I could push a little buttons on my laptop right here, you know, take you out.
You don't want to take me out. You don't have nobody to argue with like me.
That's what I thought before. Amar, you already threatening to block me again. I must be doing something right.
I ain't going to block you. I promise. We like Diva here. We ain't going to hurt Diva. We ain't gonna do that. Everything is everything. They're bringing anyway. Go ahead, you guys. It's called sarin gas. SARIN. And it'd be stupid for him to kill 1,400 of his people, aiming at the rebels who he was beating the daylights out of in the first place. It doesn't make sense.
There's a reputable link that said the UK delivered Syrian chemicals needed for Syrian production to Syria for 6 years.
Well, I believe
Under
that.
Great Britain don't want to get involved.
But they also found out that the gas that was used was not sarin, it was fluoride. So once again, fluoride is what we put in our water.
Sodium
waters,
fluoride.
People.
That's what British companies sold. They sold sodium fluoride.
Okay.
And who would say that the rebels didn't do? Who said that the rebels didn't do it?
That's my opinion.
Mine too.
I mean, well, think about it.
They ask to a country. You can also sell sodium hypochlorite to a country, and you aerosolize it and concentrate it, and you can kill people. Fluoride is for your teeth. Sodium hypochlorite is bleach.
You're right about that. We've been chemical weapon when we brush our damn teeth. Hell.
Well, Pianki, I take it you don't brush your teeth.
They're asking us to believe that Assad is so inept that he released chemical weapons on the rebels and never got a single rebel.
So you mean to tell me he's so inept, and rebels were able to sneak chemical weapons into his country and use it on his people? He said it was one of three ways. Either it was the rebels, it was a military strike gone wrong, or it was a third party.
Okay. Well, if they really want to fight the war,
whoever did it, those chemical weapons need to be there for somebody to be able to use them. Obviously, they're going to use them.
I had another suggestion, too. Why don't you just evacuate all the Syrian people and let the rebels fight the war with the Syrian government?
We're going to see whether that's the case
that
or not.
Possible?
And I don't know. We're going to have to call in and reestablish our phone line connections and all this other stuff. But until then, we are still.
You're
going
to need some money to reestablish some phone lines. That's what happens when you don't pay your bill. Lights go off.
That's what happens when you mess with liberals. But see, like, your solution was viable. How would they evacuate all the Syrians and let the rebels fight it out against the regime?
The same way they left Ho Chi Minh City. The same way they left Ho Chi Minh City in a massive convoy, just walking.
So why won't they do that then? They're tired of fighting all the killing. I mean, if it was done here, I'd be the first one to leave.
But how many million people a day are fleeing into Jordan? I can't remember. It was several million.
Well, yeah, but
a day.
This has been going on for 2 years, man. I mean, they should have ran out of people a long time ago.
Yeah.
At a million a day.
You got to remember, these rebels are the people that are willing to strap bombs to their women and children and blow them up too. So, you know, killing 1,400 perfect strangers probably ain't no big deal.
Of course,
My question is, my question is, how many of these folks were Christian?
Lord have mercy.
Oh, they supposedly captured a Christian town.
Did you see the letter?
No, I mean,
did you see the letter from the head of the Catholic Church in Syria begging President Obama not to do this because it'll cause attacks on Christians? Did you see that letter?
Did they beg President Bush not to go into Iraq? I mean,
this is my
problem with the right situation.
Actually
supported Bush in Iraq, and after we found out there was no WMD, you still justified that Iraqi war. I cannot go with you on how you feel about Syria, because between Syria and Iraq, then there's no difference. There's really
Let me
no
ask y'all this question. If all these people was getting killed, where are the tweets at?
Really?
Huh?
Yeah,
are they even allowed to?
Where
are
all the tweets at?
That tape? Really, are they allowed?
Yes, they do.
No, because then he sat down their social media at one point. He sat down their social media.
The Lincoln Knowles Plaza or Crate Street in Struthers. Nemen's IGA meats are USDA choice. Nemen's Bakery makes all cakes from scratch. The very best Italian bread in town. Nemen's IGA, quality you deserve. Quality, selection, and value. That's Nemen's IGA.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com. I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one. All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots.
Well, if them commercials... if them commercials help to turn electric back on, you better run them about four or five more times.
Oh, hey, Bianchi.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am running for city council in my town.
Oh, Lord.
What town you in again?
Huh?
What town you in again?
I can't tell you. That diva might come out and try and sabotage my campaign.
What's your platform, South Carolina?
She say you got four or five babies by her.
And he abandoned every single one of them. That'd be that.
I don't think so.
He ain't paying his child support for my babies.
Yeah, I pay my child support $704 a month. 12 years. So.
But what is
no
your
problem.
Platform? What are you running on?
I'm running on cooperation and collaboration. Right now, you got a city council that's with one particular person that is stalemating growth in the community, and she is like you, won't shut up, won't let anybody know.
Okay, so what's
inside the chat room as well? My chat room is not back up yet, so it should be back in a few seconds. So I ask that you be patient with us. Chat room, are you hearing me now?
Yeah, we hear you.
Yes.
All run the commercials some more so you can make some money.
No, you guys go ahead now. You are live on the air, and we got a buzz, a real bad buzz.
Yeah.
And nothing we can do about that. Yeah.
Diva just got on the air and tried to sabotage my campaign. She said she told Bianchi that I have four kids. I never paid no child support for by her.
Oh, wow.
What's
up with that now?
And not only that, he's an undercover progressive liberal. Don't y'all be fooled by him.
Now,
you know what?
Them is fighting words right there.
I got proof he voted for Obama twice.
I don't think so. Wasn't me. You didn't put your hands on me. It wasn't me.
Them is fighting words right there.
I don't think
God.
So.
Man, oh man.
That he said if Hillary wasn't married to Bill, he'd marry her.
Hillary?
Oh, no, Nancy. Hell. Hell, that's nasty.
You know you got no pants, oops.
Oh, God. And you know what? I can't even, you know what? I can't even cut her off. Okay. Oh, Lord, I can see you now, Diva. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, we have Diva, we have Bianchi, we have, I can't think of everybody's name. Now, anyway, we got you all back up and operating. I can see you now. And
Jeff, when you said
you
see me now, I got nervous. I thought you could actually see me.
Oh, God, here we go. What did you do, Diva?
Nothing. I had a camera in my bedroom.
Oh, God. No, this is not the Obama administration here. <We're> not.
I don't
not
know.
Not the NSA.
Yeah, NSA, NSA. They used to say USA, USA. But it's
but
NSA,
you know,
NSA.
You. Thanks to the Internet, people are a whole lot more smarter today than they were back 30, 40 years ago, say 60 years ago during the Vietnam era.
Well, you're absolutely correct.
Tell you about something that happened here. There was a local radio station that broadcast on AM and FM in a talk format. And the show was very, very successful. I mean, the guy was bringing in all kind of revenue. But what happened was he had a controversial figure on and did a Q&A with him. And apparently
one of the benefactors got a little bit upset with him. So now they've canceled the show.
But your husband went to work
earlier. And the FM format is going to a swagger format. They still haven't decided. They still haven't said what they're going to do on the AM side. But he's been kicked off the air. Now the crazy thing about it was he established that morning slot that 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. slot and built up all the advertisers and everything to follow his show. And, mm-hmm. and I just found out that they were only paying him $20 a week. So it was actually costing him to get the show on the air and do all the advertising and purchasing, you know, selling all the advertising and everything. So to shut him up, they kicked him off.
Oh, well, you know, stranger things have happened, right? Stranger things have happened. So I don't know. You know, that's something to say. My unlisted caller, you were in a conversation, so I had to bring you back. I had to sort of mute you, but you're back up and running now. But, oh, my goodness, I got this bad, bad buzz in the board. Are you guys hearing a buzz through the Internet?
No.
No.
Not
okay,
on,
wonderful.
Not on the air either.
Okay, wonderful.
Not on the
air. That's just me, and I can deal with it. That's through our headphone jack here, so they'll be able to do something with that later, and we'll be good. Okay, what exciting day we've had
Jeff,
here. Yeah.
Hey Jeff, are you guys using solar panels on the roof to supply your energy? Because that'll explain it.
I know where you're going
F-U-1.
With it though.
You know exactly where I'm going with it.
Yeah. I know where you're going. You might as well go ahead and give them the punchline.
Well, because if that's the case, we can all expect our lights to be going out periodically. You don't have enough power to serve the need.
Oh, I thought you were going with the fact that the solar panels are so bad when they catch on fire that they can't put the fires out.
Yeah.
Y'all need to take some comedic lessons from Pianki, because y'all are horrible.
What are you talking about? Who's horrible?
Your corny jokes, Ben's corny jokes, and South Carolina's
corny
jokes.
Wait a minute. What joke did I tell?
We're not joking. We're not joking. We're telling the truth. That's true.
Our previous governor signed legislation saying that we had to use 2% renewable resource or solar in Ohio, and we got one of the cloudiest states in the country.
There you go. And what did they put up here because it was the cloudiest place in the country?
The Ravenna
Arsenal. I don't know about Youngstown or up north, but here it's you get lots of sunlight.
You're in southern Ohio, Diva. We are in northern
Ohio. He said the state as in
Not compared to Wyoming, you don't get, or Arizona, or any of the western states.
Hey, well, can you tell me why, if I don't get no sunlight, why my grass is burnt?
Diva,
no,
we're not talking about you in particular.
Rain,
the whole northern part of the state of Ohio is a strategic place for military in some instances because it's under cloud cover more than everything else.
He didn't
because
say
of the Great Lakes. Because
of Ohio,
Diva, because of the Great Lakes. Now, I got to go to my top of the hour news here in 2 minutes. And so we're going to be breaking off here and going there. But just let me do this. I don't know where we're at. Let's jump in recue.
Well, he didn't say northern state of Ohio. He said the entire state of Ohio, and I was just trying to correct
the
that.
Entire state,
we get plenty of sunlight compared to up there.
You ever heard of lake effect snow, Diva?
I'm sorry, say again?
You ever heard of lake effect snow?
Yes, I used to live in Youngstown. I completely understand where he's coming from about that up north, but down southern part of Ohio, we don't have that problem. But he was making a blanket statement about the entire state, and that's not true about
compared,
the entire state.
Compared to South Carolina, Ohio gets a heck of a lot less snow.
Compared to South Carolina. But he didn't say in comparative to South Carolina. He just made a blanket statement about the state of Ohio.
Yeah, a blanket statement that was true.
No, it's not, because the whole state of Ohio is not cloudy all the time.
That's not what he said.
We barely see clouds or rain here since I lived here. It's always been sunnier than it has up north, and I've lived up north. I know exactly what they're talking about, how it is.
So what you're saying is, since you've been there, the sun just loves you, so it follows you there?
No, what I'm saying is, it's very cloudy up north. In Youngstown, yes, it's very, very cloudy. Very cloudy up north.
Did Ohio have steel mills?
No, we don't have any steel mills like we used to up north. Steel mills used to be very big, and Sticks could probably answer that because I don't live up north anymore.
Youngstown, Ohio. That's where my grandfather was from.
Yeah, Youngstown.
I drove through Youngstown one time and met a guy who was a CB radio operator. Went over to his house, had lunch, I think.
Where are you on, 680? 80?
What? Pardon me?
State Route 680 or 80? You said you drove through Youngstown?
Well, I was going through Youngstown. I think I was headed, coming out of Detroit. Maybe I heard him on the CB radio and came down and talked to him.
Oh.
It was such a long time ago, I really don't recall all the details. I know it was kind of like a gloomy place.
It is. It's very gloomy. That's why I left.
Well, I don't know nothing about no Youngstown, but I used to live in Cleveland.
I'm actually from Ohio, Diva.
I was born there.
It may have been the place
I
went to.
On the state.
Cleveland is gloomy, too.
Ain't nothing gloomy about Cleveland.
Brooklyn is gloomy also.
Cleveland is a bustling metropolis.
I'm talking about as far as the city itself.
Pollution in the air.
It's ratchet.
Now, Brooklyn is like
ratchet.
That because of... Natty
is
Brooklyn's like that because of all the gun smoke.
That's a good...
You remember back in the day when brothers used to cut you. They have a straight razor and they cut you. Now these cats are too daggone cowardly. You had to have heart to cut somebody, man. I mean, you had to have heart to cut somebody. You know.
Yeah.
But now they don't wanna do that, you know. They wanna take the punk way out and shoot somebody. So you know,
gun
at least
smoke.
Back in the day brothers back in the day brothers had honor.
It's like the movie Gunsmoke with Arnaz and so forth.
James Arnaz.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kim Curry.
It was a good old days, wasn't it?
Sure was. Black and white. Matt Dillon. Festus.
Chester.
I'm gonna start calling you Dirty Sally, Diva.
What?
Dirty Sally.
You remember Dirty Sally? Dirty Sally.
No, that is way before my time.
You need to go ahead and Google Dirty Sally.
No, thank you. I'm scared.
Yeah, life was so much simpler back then.
Yep.
Seemingly.
If y'all say so.
Even life was simple. I mean, you didn't have all these distractions.
I'm sorry. I don't know. I guess we have different life experiences because life was brutal.
No, well, the thing about it is you've grown up in an instant society. You know, people don't even know what grits are. They talk about grits. Them things you buy at the store, now they ain't grits. That's instant stuff. No,
they don't know what.
No, no, no.
They don't even know what red-eyed gravy is.
My family is from Alabama.
You know what red-eyed gravy is, Diva?
I've never had it, but my mother knows what my mother has. I don't know. I've never had it.
Diva, you know how to make biscuits? From scratch?
Who doesn't know? No, I don't. I'll be honest. I don't know how to make biscuits from scratch. No.
Oh, my God.
You missed a whole lot.
Never tried.
Mm-mm-mm. Oh, girl.
I could. I'm not saying that I can't. I just never made them.
You need to make you some biscuits. This is when you go home, when you're already home, but go get you some flour and look up
Martha
White. I'm
just
going to
make biscuits.
Heck, that make some cornbread, for real cornbread instead of that Jiffy mix.
Get you some biscuits and we used to call it nigga in a can. Can Pasteur.
What?
A ghost town. You know they call it that because they always had a little black guy on the side of the can picking sugar cane.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know
that stuff was good.
What exactly is it though?
It's syrup. It's syrup. Sugar
cane syrup.
Oh.
Used to come in a can too.
Yep, sure did.
Diva, you know how to make buttermilk cornbread?
I know how to make Sweetwater cornbread.
A slice of cornbread should be at least 2 inches thick.
2 inches thick, yeah.
I don't make cornbread because I don't eat cornbread. I mean, I've made it, but I don't really make it because I don't eat it. And my daughter doesn't eat it.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it sure is.
That's a shame.
I've
get
never
you some
liked
collard greens. You get you some collard greens, a piece of fat back, and some daggone cornbread. Shoot.
Scratch the fat back.
Get you some
scratch cornbread.
Get you some Great Northern beans, a big old slice of cornbread,
man.
Some pickle relish,
don't eat.
Some ketchup, and sprinkle some sugar on that. Mix it up.
Ketchup. What the heck?
Diva, you don't know what you're missing, man. You're making me
I can only imagine. My taste buds just revolted.
Have
now.
A piece of meat
you
in there.
Get you some Great Northern. Go, what I want you to do, Diva, go buy you some Great. Matter of fact, get the ones in the. No, listen to me. Get the ones in the can. And I want you to take a strip of bacon. Matter of fact, take 2 strips of bacon. And put that bacon in the pot and fry it. And once you fry it, you take those Great Northern beans in there, and you put them
how
in there and
let
them simmer.
How do you fry bacon in a pot? In a pot?
Diva, you take the bacon and you put it in the pot and turn the heat on and let it fry.
I thought you fried bacon in a pan, not a pot.
Diva, well, pot
I'm, trying
pan.
To tell, I'm trying to tell you how to cook. You take
I know
that,
how to cook.
You take that. You fry that
no,
up, you
know.
Fry it like that, okay?
You
can
listen online
you
at TracyandFriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
And we're back once again, afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff here in the air chair after a major failure of our electrical system here. We're back up and live and running. And we're talking to you about what's on your mind and just the things that are going on in the news. They say that Israel is kind of laughing at this latest agreement that the United States is making. And so it's really, really something for us to take a look at to see what the world thinks of us. Now, I know that we don't care if we're a supporter what this person does. It just doesn't matter. Does not matter. He can do whatever. He can do anything, say anything, and the supporters are going to be, yeah. The news media, yeah. We're with you. And this is what got me because I've seen all of this, and now we have John Kerry, who is the statesman. I'm John Kerry. I can't stand John Kerry. I think he's an idiot. Him and Al Gore are about the same to me, and as that stands, that's I don't think very much of them. Now, that's my personal opinion. I think Al Gore thinks that everybody else is stupid. He makes the movie about the seas rising. and that the land is going away, and this is going to happen, and that's going to happen. But guess what? He builds his house on the seashore. Does that make sense to you? It doesn't make sense to me. So what is it with this stuff? What is that that he's dealing with? Here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial, WSOM 600 AM on your iHeart radio dial, and on Blog Talk Radio at Tracy and Friends. We're up and moving and doing what we do. We're back full. I have full hearing in my headphones again and everything, so I can tell what's going on. So when Diva acts up, I can block her.
See what I mean?
Yep, it's all you, Diva. You just...
All right,
you,
when
you,
your electricity go back out, you know who did it. I'm just
yes,
saying.
Yes, I believe that, too. I believe that. But anyway, Diva, you're in there. Three, Pianki, you're in there.
We were talking about beans there. And cornbread.
Beans and cornbread. Well, we might be eating a lot of... We might be eating a lot of greens and cornbread, you know.
No,
for real.
Beans and cornbread. Beans.
B-E-A-N?
Great. Yeah, great darn beans, cornbread. Yeah.
We might be eating a lot of that coming up. Seriously.
Not I.
Well, I tell you what, if it's the only thing you
then
got.
You'll starve.
Diva say that she and her daughter don't like cornbread.
Well, you know what? It's not going to be a matter of that. By the way, the top cloudiest states in America are Oregon, West Virginia, Washington, New York, and then Ohio. Now, since those places are the cloudiest, why did they put an armory here in northeastern Ohio? Anybody want to care to take a guess?
Great cloud cover?
Well, you have better cloud cover in Oregon, West Virginia, Washington, and New York. There's a good reason for it. Come on. I know you can hear me.
Strategic. I'm taking a guess here. Strategic purposes, maybe because we're near the lakes. I don't know. You tell
maybe
us.
Maybe so satellites couldn't see them.
Well, not only that, but you can't see them. You can't see them in other places either. But the problem is, the other places are right on the coast, where you can easily get to them. Ohio's the first most cloudiest state that's inland, where somebody that was trying to get to us would have to come a long distance to attack our armament. So that's why you have the Ravenna Arsenal here in northeast Ohio. And it's out in the middle of the boonies, too. And it's like very, very, you know, it was a strategic place. Yes, definitely strategic is what we were dealing with. But why strategic and why Ohio fit? And that's because it's the fifth most cloudy state and the most cloudy state that's inland. So... There you go. So now you understand what Sticks was saying. But anyway, here we go again. We have a recall election going on out in Colorado that was brought about because of the state representatives in Colorado voting for gun control laws there. That limited magazine size and all this other stuff. And we're hoping very much for that to be that we can win that one. Why? Because it will bode well for the rest of the country. Because gun control is huge. I don't know why the government wants to control law-abiding citizens' ability to shoot. I can't figure it. Why are they trying to stop law-abiding citizens from having huge amounts of ability to shoot. It doesn't make sense.
Why, Diva? Answer the question.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. I was reading something else on the internet, so you got to tell me, what's this law about again?
Well, the legislatures, the two, John Morris of Colorado and Angela Girons of Pueblo, Colorado, are getting a recall vote today because they voted for gun control laws in Colorado that severely limit their ability to have large clips and types of weapons.
Asking me why? South Carolina wants me to answer why they would vote for such a bill?
Why does the government want that control?
Let's see. Columbine and Aurora.
And?
What do you mean and? That's enough right there because you had...
No, it's not enough right there. No, it's not enough right there.
Okay, I'm going to expound for a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was... These guns that were used in Columbine were not stolen. The guns that were used in Aurora were not stolen.
Both of them were stolen. They were.
The
they stole them from their uncle, remember?
Well, you know what I mean. They're getting them through legal means. Law-abiding citizens are buying these guns, which in some way these people who go out and using these deadly shootings are getting a hold of them. So they figure if they limit how many or how law-abiding citizens can get a hold of these weapons, then these crazy nutso terrorists won't be able to get a hold of them either. That's my answer.
Matt,
either like it or you don't.
Matt, I'm going to let you say something on that.
All right. Well, let's see here. Why does the government want control over guns? Well, Obamacare went through, and that was against the will of the majority of the people, especially when it went through the Supreme Court, and they voted down the mandate, and it still went forward without going back through the U.S. Senate and the Congress. Then you have Syria, where it looks like they're still pushing to get into Syria when the majority, again, of Americans say that they don't want to go in. Eventually, the government's going to say these American citizens, the people that are underneath us, who put us in the power, and they take that power seriously, they're going to start to revolt. And if they have weapons, they may actually have a chance of putting down their government, which is becoming more and more of a criminal organization. That's why they need control of guns. It has nothing to do with a murder rate. It has nothing to do with these shootings. It all has to do with politics.
What say you, Sticks?
Yes. I agree. I agree with Matt 100%. And Diva brought up Columbine. None of those firearms were obtained legally. With the exception of Gabby Gifford's shooter, none of those people that shot up those people obtained those firearms legally, so gun control is absolutely useless because criminals will get guns whether there's a law against it or not.
Most of these guns that are hitting these streets are not being stolen out of these
That's
gun
not
stores
true.
From gun stores. No,
That's
that is true.
True.
Most of these guns are being bought in mass, illegal gun owners, then sell them on the black market on these streets. I know plenty of young men.
Between 2005 and 2010, there were 1.4 million guns stolen in the United States of America.
Stolen from legal gun owners, not stolen out of somebody, not stolen from a gun
owner.
Diva!
Slow down, Rudy.
Diva, there was an entire semi-load of handguns intercepted between the Smith & Wesson factory and a distributorship a couple of years ago. There were 100 AK-47s out of a shipment of 100,000 that were stolen out of a rail yard in Maryland. The majority of these weapons that are on the streets in Chicago are obtained illegally.
I can take you to any young male in the street just about in Youngstown or in Chicago, and if you ask them where they got their gun from, if you sit down with them and build a relationship with them, they'll let you know how they got their guns. They get it through as a mule. Meaning they will have a client or someone who buys these guns legally and then sells it to them illegally.
That's not true.
Which is illegal.
Oh, okay. All right.
Diva?
Okay, that's not true. That's
Diva?
Tax.
Hold on, Alabama.
Diva, that's a violation of federal law already, which you just
said. Yeah, it's a violation of federal law, but it's still happening.
Why don't we prosecute the people that are violating the law? Do you realize there's never been a single prosecution for anybody lying on a background check form?
What do you mean lying on a background check form? All they're doing is asking them, basically, applying for a gun. They don't ask them, what do you plan on using this gun for? Are you
Alabama.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question.
Then you,
so,
Alex.
And this is just hypothetical. And I would love for Diva to answer this. Let's say I have a history of doing certain things against Diva, right? And or let's say I have a history of raping children. I'm a pedophile, right? And Diva's asked, does she want me to keep her children? And just say, hey, trust me, I'm not going to do anything. I know that happened in the past, but I've changed. Is Diva going to trust me to keep her kids, or is she going to say, no, I don't trust this person to keep my children? And if so, given that the government has had a history of violence against us as a people, blacks, and all types of people that you liberals love to espouse, why is it when it comes to gun, hypocritically, they want to turn around and say, well, let's trust the government? Because when an evil Republican gets in, heaven forbid, in certain states and municipalities, like, you know, with the Rosewood situation and Tulsa, people were killed in mass quantities. And if we weren't, had we been armed, had there not been so much problems with arming those people, it may have went a little differently. So I just want to hear her take on that.
I completely forgot what your question was, because I was paying so much attention to the rest of your statement that I even completely forgot what your question was.
I guess I just I was just saying, if I was a pedophile and I've been proven to be a pedophile, if I move into your neighborhood, if a pedophile moved next door to you, that was in the past, right? But do you trust them to keep your kids, or would you let them babysit your kids? Better yet, would you want to move? You'd probably want to move because your kids are probably outside playing all the time. People have a tendency in government, when there's a consolidation of power, to abuse it. People in China were disarmed, and they killed 80 million, what was it, almost 100 and something million people, had their brains blown out. Cambodia, this has been done thousands of times in history. And what's his name? Julius Caesar. Well, Julius Caesar, when he came into Rome, had one of his slaves come in, whisper in his ear and say, remember, you are just a man. And he also told him, if you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it. So history has told us and shown us that when people get in power and oligarchy takes over, they kill people in masses. And yet you think that the nature of man is going to change somehow, and we can just trust the government, the same government that gave us syphilis on purpose, government that did all these things to black people in the history, and now all of a sudden you just think that they're just gonna, so we can trust them. That's what you.
Are
that's
you
what
making?
You're saying.
Are you asking me a question, or are you just making a statement? Because I don't.
I made my point about 4 or 5 times, but I'm just making a point and a statement that I think it's just buffoonery to sit up here and trust the government.
First off, I don't trust anyone. Except
for
Jehovah. That's the only one I trust.
No, Diva. You trust
However,
you trust people when you disarm, because what if I don't disarm?
No,
do you
I don't
trust
anybody
to,
just
you,
because
if
I may agree
with you. If the government's telling you that they're not going to use their
mean,
guns against you to put you in jail,
are you,
how are you going to stop
ask me a question, or did you just want to start a debate or a conversation?
You just made a hypocritical point talking about you don't trust anybody. You do trust the government.
No, how you going to tell me what I do and what I don't do? I don't trust anybody
because,
just
by your
because
words, Diva.
I may agree
Diva,
with
you trust politicians.
Hold on. That was a good one. That was a perfect one by your words. But go ahead. Let Diva explain herself. Go ahead, Diva. And then, Alex, I want you to jump in.
I mean, just, no, a person, I can, that's just like, if a person in your own personal life, if your family does you wrong, will you stop loving them? No, you won't stop loving them. Will you stop being around them? No, you won't stop being around them. Would you trust them again? No, you won't trust them. The same thing is with the government. Now, the government is not a person. It's an entity made up of people that act and think just like you and me one way or the other. Do I believe everything that comes out of government, that comes out of our representative's mouth? No. But do I have certain ideals and certain principles that I adhere to and that I believe in? Yes. If that doesn't answer your question as to how you believe it should be answered, sorry. That's the only way that I can answer
please,
for you.
Please, Jeff, please let me address that. Please, Jeff, it will take 5 seconds, I promise. Okay, I agree that there are certain entities within the government that are going to do evil things. That is just, you're making the case that if there are 90% that don't, but when you live in Rosewood and there's a mayor that's racist and wants to hang people or do something because, you know, the economy is falling apart or something, you need to have a gun. When it all hits the fan and people are running down the streets with guns and whatever, if you were the one that's in your heart, your motives may have been pure, but when that person's coming in that door, they don't care about your motives in your heart. They're going
to
take what they want.
And I'm trying to figure out. You must not have been listening.
I'd rather have guns.
You must not have been listening when I changed my stance on gun banning to gun ownership. I used to be completely against civil citizens owning guns altogether, but I changed my stance on that. Where I believe, yes, citizens should be able to own guns, but there has to be a limit because we have to face the fact and the reality that through citizens obtaining weapons legally, the wrong people are getting their hands on them.
Diva?
That has to be addressed. You can't act like that's not happening.
Hold on.
When it is.
I got to get Alex in here next. Alex, go ahead, buddy.
Well, there's just so many things that transpired in the last 5 minutes. Jesus.
I'm sorry.
You know, I think that we have to ask ourselves, do you trust your fellow American citizens? The fact of the matter is that the way the government was set up is that the right to bear arms was not to hunt or fish. It wasn't even for civil, self-defense. It was so that the people can protect themselves against their government, and especially from foreign governments. That was the if the people are not allowed to be armed any and everywhere that they go, then it takes all the teeth out of the statement a government for, by, and of the people. So all this, everything that we're talking about, I mean, I hear it, but you have to really ask the question, I think, do you trust your fellow American? Because if you don't, it really doesn't matter what laws that you do. Nothing's going to work. You might as well just close up shop. It's all over. That's what we really have to get back to. I mean, we really have to get back to treating each other as we want to be treated and trusting each other. When we do that, everything changes. Our tax code changes. We'll all want to pay the same rate. You know, we'll go to a flat tax as it used to be, unapportioned. We'll all respect each other's right to bear arms and respect each other as citizens and respect each other's personal liberty. But, you know, I hear all these things talked about and need for gun control and all this, but to me it really just evades the underlying issue here. And if you don't trust your fellow American, then it doesn't matter anyway.
Six.
Yeah, Alex is right. I mean, you know, I've said this more than once. The neighborhood I live in is armed to the teeth, and we're not shooting each other. You know, and we don't covet what each other has, and we all get along fine. You know, as far as gun control, I wish Diva would go and try it. To buy a gun and see what you have to go through in order to get one legally. You know, there's a Justice Department stat that said 40% of felons convicted with a gun went on to the next guy because they were afraid that the first target was armed. I mean, gun control only controls law-abiding citizens. It doesn't do anything for criminals.
Well, there's no doubt about it. Alabama, you're back in as well. South Carolina, you're in. Pianki, and of course, you, Diva, still there. The thing is what's going on is people fail to want to believe because of the spin and the taking over of America by the progressives, that the Second Amendment was put in place so that you could guard yourself against your own government. It wasn't just so you could arm yourself, so you could eat and hunt, as Joe, whatever, Biden, says, buy yourself a shotgun.
Hold
on. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, because when I see, when I hear this argument, when I have this gun argument on Facebook, and when we first had this argument, when I first started calling to this show, it was nothing about what, I want to say Alex Alabama, I'm sorry, what he said. It was about, well, it's easier for me to hunt with. It's easier for me to, you know, I can't hunt with a bow and arrow. It was all about hunting. It was all about sporting. When you see these people with these high-powered rifles who get on TV, who they pick to get on TV, it has nothing to do with arming themselves in case of a government invasion. It was all about sport.
I don't need an AR-15 to hunt with, okay? Well, I need an AR-15 to guard myself against my government going crazy. That's
okay,
what I
and
need.
I completely get that. I completely understand that. But a lot of, like, happened in Newtown. That woman was a gun enthusiast. His mother was a gun enthusiast. Not because she was trying to protect herself from government, but because she liked guns. A lot of people like guns. They like the way they feel. They like, it's something about them that they're attracted to.
Let Alex make this comment.
Like what happened in Newtown and like what happened on 9/11, the only reason why those things were allowed to happen were because of stupid progressive federal laws saying that you can't have a gun in a school or you can't have a gun on an airliner. But if people were allowed to exercise their liberty, then, people like that. They stay away from places. They target places where they know are gun-free zones. Now, nobody's going to go into an area where they know people are armed. It's just like the guy, the Aurora shooter. He specifically chose a movie theater that had a sign that said no firearms. He passed up like seven or maybe not that many, but it was a few movie theaters that were actually better than the one that he went to. Those were all open movie theaters. So that's the and with the Sandy Hook and all this stuff, these things happen because of stupid laws of trying to curb our liberty. If people were allowed to protect themselves, if you just trusted Americans to protect themselves, then they would. But you've just made them defenseless with the law.
So let me ask you something. With the Aurora shooting, a dark theater, how many people would he have still been able to pop off before somebody realized what was going on and shot him? He had an automatic rifle.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
He wouldn't have attempted it in the first place because what you have to understand is people like that are cowards. They're not even going to attempt it. He went there because he knew that they were all going to be sitting ducks and all they could do was run. That's why he attempted that place. But I would challenge you to find a single one of these places where somebody went and
who shot up the military base. There's guns all around there. He still shot it up.
He had a death wish.
When you're on a military base, there's only a few people that are allowed to carry armed or loaded firearms.
Absolutely.
And those are the MPs. The entire base is not loaded. Anybody else who had a weapon needs to make sure that their magazines are ejected and given to one of the officers in charge that is not armed to the teeth.
The fact of the matter is, there is a possibility that he could have came across someone who did have a weapon. Okay. You cannot just carry a weapon. But they have their weapons. Well, at least at Fort Campbell, my husband, each facility. Each division had their own weapons stashed and locked away. But the fact is, if there was an MP patrolling, he could have came across an MP. So the fact of the matter is, he still the fact that he could have came across somebody with a weapon. So this fact that nobody goes shooting where they could encounter somebody with a weapon is not true. Or that
well,
isn't
is,
going to happen.
It is too true, and it's a psychological fact. You have to understand
right.
what psychologists will tell you. Go ahead.
Okay.
Who,
all right.
Bianchi, did you just say something? Yeah. Who's that?
No, it wasn't none of me, but...
Who just came in?
For him. If I was in a place that didn't allow concealed carry and I heard something go boom, first thing I'm going to do is reach for where my gun usually be on me.
no doubt about it. And here's the thing, I am a concealed carry person. Guess what? The first time I hear a couple things pop up, I'm down on the floor looking for where it's coming from because I'm going to splash too. And believe you me, I don't care how much protection he had on, he's going down. Because when that
what?
Bullet hits him, it comes with a velocity that will knock him down. Okay, so you...
But
so
imagine
you
if somebody who comes up on you without you realizing it, and boom, boom. I mean, what's the point of you having a gun?
Well, I mean,
if
then
you
he
don't
got
have the
me,
gun.
But I hope the next person that got a gun, does something about it.
Stats show that every place where they've instituted shall issue concealed carry, the violent crime rate goes down. And like I said, there's a Justice Department stat that says 40% of convicted felons say that they didn't attack someone, they didn't accost one person and took another target because they thought the first target was carrying a firearm.
That's right.
Plain and simple.
330-831, you're in there.
Hi, Jeff. It's Bonnie. And I was just going to call that, there's a thing about the shooter. When someone says shooter, they're not a shooter. They're a murderer. And we have to understand that what we say is how it needs to be interpreted. That's a little change in the twist of the wording. You can shoot a bow and arrow. You can murder if you aim it at somebody to kill them. That's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, I agree with all those of you who are listening that have a gun, because if you need one, there's a whole bunch of us here in Columbiana County, and Styx knows that will surely make sure you get one. Am I correct, Styx?
Absolutely.
If you know how, you're going to get a gun. And I shot my first shotgun, I think, I can't remember. I think I was 4. And then I shot but that was a different kind of gun. And then when I was 9... And children
who
need to know
that
how
noise
to
in the background?
Okay, I'm on my cell phone, so I have to hang up. I'll listen to you guys on the radio. Great conversation. Thank you for taking my call. Bye bye.
Thanks, Bonnie.
But again, what good does it have? What good does it to have a gun? Not that I'm saying I'm completely against, but what good does it have if you don't get the drop on the person?
Why are you concerned about it? Why are you trying to take that person's liberty away? I mean,
I'm not trying
to
take that person's liberty away. You guys
argue
so vehemently to have guns to in case somebody comes at you, but if you don't have a drop on that person, it's not going to do you any good.
It
does. Your question's not answered.
Both sides of the argument makes no sense.
Your question is answered, Diva. It's the next person. If you walk into a room and you happen to be the unfortunate one, even though you carry a gun that gets nailed, chances are if there's no infringement on liberties and people who are allowed to carry a gun like they should be, there's going to be somebody else in the room to take that shooter down, murderer,
still,
to take that
answer,
murderer down before he
you
kills
keep
anybody
saying,
else.
If I have my gun on me, that's going to prevent somebody from doing something that's going to make somebody think twice.
That's not what we're saying. Diva, that's not what we said, and that's not what we're saying. We're saying that we have more of an opportunity to survive if we're carrying a gun than protecting others than we not have one and have all this hullabaloo that the government is giving you because they don't want you to have guns.
If you're in your car and you're getting carjacked, your chances of being shot by the being killed by the person who's carjacking is basically just the same amount as mine.
Not necessarily.
Not in my car.
Diva, if you came to me, I'm concealed carry, and you coming to me with a gun in your hand, first thing I'm going to do is turn my left shoulder towards you. Then my right hand is going for my gun. I'm turning my left shoulder to you because you might hit me in the shoulder, but I'm going to hit you in the head.
That's assuming that that person is just aiming and speaking and,
Diva,
just, and not paying close enough attention to what you're doing.
Diva, you're gonna have to really come up on me to walk up on me that close.
Both sides of the argument is stupid because when I look at it from the left, I look at it like, how are you guys just thinking that regular citizens cannot carry guns to protect themselves? Then I look at it from the right, and I'm like, you guys are idiots to think that a gun gives you hope or gives you safety,
Diva,
when it doesn't, because you have to have the drop on a person.
Let me give you an example, Diva. Just a really quick example. If Jeff, who is concealed carry, Sticks, who is concealed carry, and I, who is concealed carry, happen to be in the same store at the same time, and somebody comes in and caps me, I know that Sticks and Jeff aren't going to die along with me because they're going to kill that shooter. Does that make sense to you?
Okay.
No, murder,
guns
not
are,
a shooter.
When you guys argue
Sorry,
about guns,
murder.
All I hear is self-protection, self-protection, not protection of others. Self-protection. Unless we get into mass shooting, then that's when y'all get to talk about self-protection of others. Now you want to twist it around. It's always self-protection.
Oh,
I need to protect myself. I need to protect myself.
Stop, Diva.
Now you guys want to switch it up.
You're making yourself look so bad. I let you hold forth today because I felt bad because I blocked you all of the other times. So, but what I'm saying is this. You're making yourself look bad because you're reaching. This is not what we're saying. The Second Amendment gives us the right to bear arms. The government does not want that to be. There is a reason why the government does not want that to be. Do you know that the law enforcement does not have as good of guns in most cases as do the criminal element? And do you know that they get their guns off the black market, not off of legitimate dealers? There might be some guns going that way. Yes, I agree. But there is not
the black
a whole
market. Who establishes the black market? Somebody's getting those guns legally.
The underworld establishes the black market.
Diva, I just told you there were 1.5 million guns stolen in the United States between 2005 and 2010.
Break that down into, you got to break that down even more so. How many were stolen from individual owners, legal gun owners, and how many were stolen from gun stores and gun stores?
It doesn't matter.
They were all legally held guns when they were stolen. It doesn't matter where they were stolen from.
My point exactly. The black market comes about because of legal gun owners. Not that I'm trying to demonize or make them look bad.
That's not true. Okay, listen to me. I had a grandfather, my mother's grandfather ran alcohol from Florida to South Carolina. Guess what? He didn't buy it from a state store in Florida. It was against the law. Okay? He ran liquor.
Nobody
so my point
could
is
get
this.
Alcohol legally during prohibition.
He did not buy it legally. It was illegally made.
Your analogy doesn't make any sense.
It makes a whole
because
lot of sense. Because
during prohibition, no one could get alcohol legally. So everybody had to do it illegally.
That's not true. Once again, that really isn't.
Can I make a comparison real quick?
Go ahead and do it again, bro.
Trying to pin all these illegal, even if you could prove that half of all gun crimes come from, they're stolen from legal gun owners, okay? Even if that were true, that would be like saying trying to hold accountable legal, let's say car owners. If your car gets stolen and it's used in the commission of a crime, then you should be held accountable because that's your car. You didn't secure your car good enough, and so your car was used for robbery and maybe vehicle homicide or kidnapping or whatever, which happens all the time. I mean, it, whenever when children are kidnapped and things like that, that happens all the time because they don't want surveillance to tell them back to their own vehicle. And so they'll often steal vehicles to for kidnapping, and as sad as it is, for sex trafficking, trade, women and children, all that stuff. So it's like. But to propose something like that is just—it's just completely asinine. But that's what
that's what's being
proposed for gun owners. That gun owners, legal gun owners, should be responsible for the actions of the criminals. But would you hold people who own cars responsible for the crimes that somebody committed? If someone stole your car and they committed a crime with your vehicle?
That's a horrible analogy because that's not happening in a mass
discussion
as such as guns are. When people do mass killings, you can't even. That's like apples and oranges.
I'm not saying hold an owner responsible for the actions of others.
What I'm saying is you have to look at the reality of the situation, and you have to say something needs to be done. To sit there and say, no, nothing should be done because these idiots, these terrorists, these mental cases are getting hold of these guns and committing such crimes as Newtown when you have 20 people killed in one city.
Diva, I'm going to agree with you that something needs to be done, okay? But what they are doing is not going to do it. That's the problem.
Come up with something that we can live with.
How about the Israeli model for safe schools? Would you go along with the Israeli model for safe
schools? I don't know what the Israeli model is. What is the Israeli model?
Armed teachers, armed custodians, arm every adult in the school if they choose to be armed.
Heck no, because we got some crazy teachers and adults in this country. It comes back to Alabama or Alex and Timmy. Who
you
trust
your
fellow Americans? And no, I do not.
Let me give you the stats on Israel. 1972, Israel had a mass shooting from terrorists. They instituted the armament plan. They haven't had one since.
But Israelis have a different mindset than Americans.
No, they don't.
They're totally different. They have a different mindset.
No,
yes, they do.
Yeah.
They are not,
Diva. I'm sorry. It comes down to, do you trust your fellow American? I, for one, do not.
Yes.
I don't.
Then why do you trust your government?
I don't trust my government. I just have certain beliefs. I go along with I have certain beliefs that I believe in. Certain ideals that I believe in. It has nothing to do with
trust. If you don't trust Americans, and you can't trust the laws that are instituted by Americans.
I can trust the laws. I just can't trust the people who are sometimes in power to uphold those laws.
Who's enforcing the law? Who's enforcing the law?
I don't trust my fellow American. But if the Republicans come up with a sensical...
Diva, we're not talking about Republicans. We're not talking about Republicans.
Okay. Well, then, those who are pro-gun need to come up with a sensical way of handling this problem that we have.
I gave you a sensible way to do it, but you don't like it. Because it works.
The Israeli model, I'm sorry. I don't trust... I mean, you got teachers cutting off kids' hair.
What
got teachers marking on kids' faces. Come on now. Those are teachers, kind of teachers we want to have armed in our schools.
Diva? There's a city in Georgia that requires every household to have a firearm. When they instituted that, the crime rate went to almost zero. It's been proven to work. More guns, less crime.
Okay, having it in your home is one thing, but you're talking about in schools. With adults, we have teachers who cut off children's hair because they misbehave. We have teachers who do egregious things.
That's because all the teachers are liberals.
Because they misbehave. Our teachers are stressed to the max. I'm sorry, I came up in a different era than you guys did, okay? So the teachers that you guys came up with are not, and they got worse.
Diva. How many times did you get paddled when you were going to school?
I didn't have to get paddled because I was good.
Were they even allowed to paddle when you went to school?
We have a hard time believing that.
I didn't give it. I was a model student in school. Well, no, I get back. I got paddled one time in fourth grade. I got into a physical fight with a boy. But yes, we were allowed to get paddled when I was in school. But even still, the teachers, I'm sorry. I mean, when I hear teachers who cutting off kids' ponytails, writing on their faces, hitting on them, choking them, those are not the teachers we want armed in our schools.
Diva, do you think that those teachers would get through the requirements and the training it takes to carry a firearm in school?
People can get through anything they really desire to.
Oh, here we go.
So you're saying I can't trust my local policeman because he could be psychotic too.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
Diva.
Well, come on.
Burn.
All right,
hey,
come
Diva.
On now. Oh
is that
my gosh.
Hey, Diva.
So if you're saying that I need to carry a gun,
we do.
My local police.
I didn't say you shouldn't carry a gun. You shouldn't carry a gun. That's not my argument. My argument is some people shouldn't have guns.
Can anybody say that I have not
well,
given
we have
Diva?
To find a better
well,
gun
whoa, 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 whoa! Can anybody say that I haven't given Diva her time to explain herself and talk it out and tell her voice her view?
My headache says that yes, you gave her plenty of time.
You gave me plenty of time, and I surely appreciate it. And that's why I've stayed on the call as long as I have.
But, Diva, the problem, Diva, is it's what you're saying is crazy. It doesn't make sense. And you've looked all the way around the world. Listen.
You can't handle the truth.
You went all the way around the way.
So are you saying there aren't teachers out there who are cutting off children's hair?
No, I didn't say that at all, Diva, but I don't think the teacher's going to be crazy enough.
How is that not making sense?
I'm saying to you that is not a reason to not arm people in the school when there are people getting away with from time to time shooting up schools and killing kids. You need a deterrent.
He said you should arm every teacher in every other school.
Listen. You cannot. Not allow the kids to be protected because you got one or two teachers that do something stupid. We got crazy people everywhere.
I did not. That's not what I said.
You said no, they can't have guns. You said no, they can't have guns because.
Oh no no no!
Can I finish?
He asked.
Let me tell you what you said,
Jeff.
I had to cut her off for a second. I'm gonna bring you back, Diva. But
Yeah, this is Alabama.
Go ahead.
One point I've been listening to the whole conversation. One of the things that liberals like to do is they place you in an emotion where some sad incident anecdotally took place, and because of this anecdotal one incident.
Yeah, it's supposed to justify their inaction. I know you're at work and can't really.
Say it again.
I said that they try to justify that what you're trying to prove can't possibly happen because of that anecdotal
incident. Because liberals are based off emotion, not logic. So
all the time.
They think that emotionally, because of this sad incident.
So now we should give up our freedoms. And government education trains you to not think for yourself. It trains you to be docile and to not believe that the government can even, become so. That's why we don't really hear about Tulsa riots and different things like that. And that's why,
right.
They indoctrinate you to fall asleep and to think a certain way and to not ever, think that they can do something evil. That's why you'll never hear about how we got sucked into World War II and Vietnam, Gulf of Tonkin, and all this different stuff where Johnson was bombing our own people, doing different things to try to get into war. They don't talk about that because they're declassified and you have to be a rebel in your thinking to even go look that stuff up. Once you do that, then you can't – now you say, well, dang, if they'll do that, if they'll take guns and blow up our own ships trying to sink it just to get into a war, then why should I trust them? You get what I'm saying? So why should I trust them? They're tyrannical.
Yep.
And they pass out food, phones and food stamps. And keep a whole segment of society, the whole segment of our society, right there in their things. Go ahead, Six.
They're still questioning the USS Maine
from the Spanish American War.
Yeah.
I would love for the GOP, Boehner, Eric Cantor,
what is the GOP going to do?
Plan. Even you guys to come up with a plan instead of saying, no, we shouldn't.
Diva.
No, we can't.
Diva, we're not speaking for the GOP. We're speaking for American citizens.
You guys have that. That's who
Diva.
Your standard bears.
You, Diva, you missed a big flick on me. Diva. I'm a small little libertarian. And, I'm for Ted Cruz and Rand Paul, and I think John Boehner and John McCain and Lindsey Graham have sold us out.
Rand Paul
and
also, Ted
also,
Cruz
also
are
just
not
to add to your point, Diva, just to add to your point, Diva, Obamacare says if you break your leg, or right now, if you ever given any antidepressant.
What happened to you, Alabama?
Why they're buying up all these bullets and guns? I mean, why would certain factions of government that have nothing to do with law enforcement buy a bunch of bullets and guns? Billions, they bought how many bullets? I think it's like three, billions of bullets. They bought like 10 bullets for every one of us in this country.
That's right.
What the government has bought up.
Answer that because I did my research on it, but you're not going to accept my answer
Answer it and let's see what you got out of your research. Go ahead, real quick.
Research I did was that the Social Security Administration bought up all these bullets. Why? Because they have agents who carry the Social Security IRS. They have agents who carry weapons. This has been going on for every presidential administration.
It has not.
They didn't buy up all. They didn't buy 3 billion bullets. That was just the Social Security Administration just bought up a few million. But there were other organizations within the government that bought bullets. That's just one of them. That's what they released to deflect the story. Then they later quietly released that they have all of them together collectively bought over 3 billion, 320 billion bullets, 3.2 billion bullets.
But the thing is, you deny the fact that they have agents in each of these administrations.
Diva,
in each of these administrations, weapons.
3 billion bullets is not necessary.
Why did they buy 3.2 billion? 3.2 billion, Diva. Think logically. Don't just think with emotion, please.
I'm not thinking with emotion. I'm not emotional about Social Security buying bullets. You are.
Diva, you're getting emotional.
I'm
now. That's what you're doing.
As she's screaming out her.
Diva, I can play you like a fiddle because you're emotional.
Because I'm tired
of
you guys
you
always
like
trying to make it
emotional,
like just
because
I'm a female and I'm a Democrat
that
I'm emotional.
Diva,
you have insecurities, Diva. Diva, you have insecurities that have nothing to do with the logic. Stay with the logic.
Okay,
if
gentlemen,
Social
hold on.
The Social Administration did not
right,
buy 3.2 billion bullets.
Whatever.
Exactly.
Me giving you my answer is not emotional. That was logical. You just don't agree
Diva, it wasn't logical by any means at all. That's what we're trying to tell you.
You tell me how explaining why Social Security bought up all those bullets is emotional.
Because what they told you was a lie.
You almost got me cussing on air. I got to go because I'm
you stay right there. No, you stay right there and listen to me for a second.
No, but y'all about ready to make me cuss y'all out. That's getting emotional.
Unprecedented.
That's what I'm saying.
Unprecedented throughout history is the buy of bullets by the U.S. government right now. It has never been done like that before by the civilian agencies that. Oh, wait a minute. By the civilian agencies that oversee the United States people. Never before have they fitted 2,500 Abrams personnel carriers for the streets of America. Ever.
Okay. Whether I agree with that or disagree with that has nothing to do with my emotions. I don't understand how that's got to do with my emotions. Now, me
because
upset,
when we told you there was a bunch of when we proved to you that it was a bunch of mess, you continued to say it and got angry.
That's not why he said I was emotional. He said I was emotional because of the point I made. What the heck
no,
is that?
No, that's not what he said.
Now I'm emotional.
That's not what he said.
Now you can say I'm emotional. That's totally different. I'll agree. Yes, right now I'm emotional. Because you're trying to make it seem like my statement didn't come out of research or my or thought.
No. We're trying to tell you that you're
me having a feeling about something.
Diva, what we tried to tell you is that your statement did not follow logic. It may be what the government said, but that is the most.
Okay, you know what?
That is the most asinine. That is the most asinine thing I've ever heard.
See you guys, time I decide
to
call in.
Bye, Diva.
Bye.
I gave you your chance. I gave you your chance today, and I just want you to know that I have been fair above all. So nobody can say that I was not fair with Diva. So that's the liberal mindset. It's not based in logic at all. Okay? It's just not. So what I tell you is this. That's why there's a diametrical opposition between conservatives and liberals, because that was crazy. Well, I got to go. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you tomorrow. Tracy will be back in the air chair, and I think it's her and Sticks tomorrow. And we will see you guys later. God bless, and keep holding it down for us.
Fit family. Unique.
Well,
individualized.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and friends.com.